themselves
Heroes Asylum.
Uno more.
Welcome everybody to Heroes Asylum Podcast, issue 152. Want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. Well, for us it is, because we're recording on Sunday.
It is, that's right. Shocked we didn't take Sunday off. It is Mother's Day, but yes, happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. So, yeah. So how's your week been there, sir?
It's been okay. Nothing special. I keep wanting to go out to catch some movies, and I really want to get out and catch Thunderbolts. I'm seeing too many clips online from like TikTok and Facebook Messenger, Facebook Reels. Just like many great clips going on, and I'm like, man, this looks like so much fun.
It is. I've seen it three times. I've told you about it last week, as I said. So it's that, and Sinners is really good. There's a lot of good flicks out there to check them out. I get like time is very limited, I guess, nowadays for both of us. So it's hard, but definitely worth watching.
Not only that, but like my movie going buddies aren't around right now. Like our biggest one was our friend Cindy. She's got some family things happening, so she hasn't been in town that much. So it's like. She would remind me and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about going to movies here. Let me get the tickets," and I'd pay her back. And like, it's just not there. So I gotta get off my ass and like do it.
You have to do the solo thing like I do, man. It happens.
But, I'm good with going solo. I used to do that in my summers when I was my dad worked down South Florida, and I'd go visit him for the summers, and he'd go off to work at his construction site, and he'd leave me a fucking jar of quarters, and I'd just. Walk to the theater, probably watch like 2 to 3 movies in the afternoon before he got home.
Hey man, it's well worth it. I usually catch the flicks like nowadays. I mean, before it used to be, I think was it Thursday at midnight? Used to be the big, was it Thursday at midnight?
Thursday, not so much midnight. Yeah, it used to be like the later, like 11 or so. We would usually be in the theater at midnight, which is where the old podcast we used to have, Badass Midnight Movies, came from, is because we were watching movies at midnight, and we used to have a big crowd that would go with us.
Yeah, that's crazy to go out at that time. A little younger back then, but it was a lot of fun. But nowadays, of course, that's gone. That's been eliminated. So I usually take like the Thursday showing, like 8 o'clock, and just to get ahead of the game, because I don't want to get spoiled. I've been spoiled way too much on things I kind of like. So I'm like, you know, let me watch it. I don't want to get spoiled.
I've been lucky. Like the spoiling has come like, online, I guess I'm following the right people, but yeah, online it's been like week after it's been released. That's when and at that point it's like, okay, that's on me for me visiting those sites.
And usually I don't try to spoil things for you neither. I'll say, hey man, if you want to know, let me know. You're like, yeah, I want to know, and then I'll just tell you. So it's just, I don't spoil even my Facebook posts. I won't spoil it, but there's something happens, you got to watch it.
Yeah,
I don't want to be that guy.
Although I have been reading, and I think I talked to you about this before a couple of weeks ago. I started reading Dungeon Crawler Carl. I think you and I were talking
Dungeon
about.
Yeah, I had that in one of my iPhone notes. I was like, why did I write? What is Dungeon Carl?
Yeah, it's a book that's out right now, and it's been getting like tons and tons of like recommendations and getting pushed on YouTube book and then a book talk, and so it's like getting a big push. And I guess I kind of fell into that category like you did with Game of Thrones, where I'm like, ugh. Everybody's talking about it. I don't want any part of it. And it just, a couple of people I follow, they really were like suggesting it. I'm like, all right, if they're suggesting it, I got to do it. And I have,
it's
in the last 2 weeks, I've burned through the first 3 books.
Oh, that's you, buddy. You just burned.
I haven't read like that in a long time. These are fun book reads. I mean, great humor, and just it's been so much fun, and I've got 4 more books, and then I have to wait. So
I've noticed as I gotten older, I have a particular style as far as what I want to read and how I want to read it. Like certain comics have to hit me like, oh, there was a cool run. It's got to be something off-putting, a little bit crazier, and I'll read it. And in books, it has to be behind the scenes. Anything on books, I like anything behind the scenes with movies, like what happened, like how it got produced, who made it. Like I just watched Wick is Pain. That's a documentary. Really good. You should watch it. Like the making of the first John Wick to the making of the fourth John Wick, and like how they hired like these stunt performers, and how Eva Longoria saved the first John Wick movie. Like literally, she's on the opening credits. She says Eva Longoria. So it's pretty nuts. But like that's kind of like where I'm at with my kind of like book reading, comic reading.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, if anybody's out there want a fun read along, it's definitely got a. I guess I can equate it to like a mix of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Running Man. It's just fun and really messed up. I mean, I have very few books I laugh at, and you know, I do an LOL. These books, I literally like some of the things that happen or said, or I laugh my ass off because I'm like, oh my god, but it's a real good read. And if anybody's into audiobooks, the audiobook, the guy that narrates the audiobooks is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could just read the fucking like the phone book to me, and I'd be happy. Yeah, he just the way he presents it is just perfect.
So he's kind of like a Morgan Freeman. Like you feel kind of good when you listen to him. Like,
no, to match the story and the quirkiness of the story, he's got the voice for it, and his other voices he uses matches it perfectly. Yeah. So this month we've been doing animated movies, TV shows, things of that nature. So today we are going to be talking about some of our favorite animated shows. Again, the rule was we left Disney alone because Disney is king. There are a few that, you know, I didn't touch because it's like, it's kind of a given. I didn't touch really anything from the 80s, like hardly anything from the 80s. I didn't do G.I. Joe, I didn't do the staples that we grew up with because they're just staples and they are great.
You chose nothing from the 80s?
No, not that I remember here. Let me see here. No, 70s, yes. 90s, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think anything from the 80s on my list here.
I got one from the 80s. That's why I was like, because I thought for sure you would have one.
No, I guess maybe like one kind of crosses over, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started on.
You just made the list.
The list.
The list.
So I'm going to let you go first. So what do you got?
Like I said, this is in no particular order. When this series came out, apparently it was on TV for a while. I'd never seen it on TV. And then one birthday, a friend of mine, this is going back like this is my 20s. So he gave me this birthday gift, and he knew I was a big Kevin Smith fan, and that's Clerks the Animated Series, which is just as vulgar, just as profane as the films. Even more, there are episodes that have me just dying, but I think the one episode in particular is literally, it's towards the end, and it has a lot to do with anime. And it goes from like, what the hell? And it's this quick little like shots going in and out. I had never laughed so hard in my life. I fell on the floor and like, what is going on? And I would watch it over and over and over again. And it never stopped being not funny. It's one of those things I could pop on right now when I'm done. I'll watch it and I'll still laugh.
Yeah. Actually, that's kind of how I did my list. I was like, what do I watch over and over again consistently? Yeah. Like something I just throw on in the background. And yeah, definitely Clerks. It's been a long time. I've got it, but I haven't like plugged it in and watched it in a while. Maybe I'll have to do that later. But yeah, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, holy crap. Because if I remember correctly, this was like way before like South Park, way before
it was
before Family Guy, like before a lot of this. I think it was sort of like around the time, like I think we started getting Ren and Stimpy and things like that, which the real, I mean, if anybody's ever seen early Ren and Stimpy, that's that takes a lot.
Not for the faint of heart. I will just say that you better have a strong, be self-secure. That's all I would say. So, sir, what do you have?
It's something I've talked about to you before. I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show. I think I probably have, like, years ago or a few years ago because it's only on its third season right now. It is a current running show. It's on Prime. It's called Legend of Vox Machina. And it's a series based off of kind of a Dungeons & Dragons. It's fantasy style. But if anybody's ever watched or on YouTube or watched the Critical Role, where it's a bunch of people that sit around and they do Dungeons & Dragons campaigns. This is actually written by them and voiced by them. So it's got a lot of those same folks. And the story just follows this group of seven members of Vox Machina. And they just go about doing their missions. They help out certain kingdoms, help out villagers. They're basically like an A team or a team for hire to help, take care of some things. But just the way they approach it and the way their humor to it is just great. That's what's going to catch me on anything that is supposed to be serious.
Hmm.
but it's the humor that goes behind it. Like their bard has a cod piece that is like a disco ball. So when he starts jamming out, you know, he's the bard. He's supposed to be playing music, you know, during their mission. Fucking a cod piece sign goes, you know, pops out, and he, and like the lights are going around like a disco. I mean, it, just the humor in it, you is great. I've tried to get you to watch this so many times.
I don't think you've told me. No, I think you're lying, dude. No, you have not. See, you never described it like that. If you described it like that, I would have watched it that day.
Yeah, just the humor, right. The humor in it. It's just, it's over the top. But yeah, if anybody's up for some fun, again, it's Prime, 3 episodes. I think they're signed up for their 4th episode. Just really fun. So what you got next?
All right, so I got a series that is technically from the 80s, but it's not what I'm choosing it from, if that makes sense.
No, I get you.
All right, okay, you got it? Well, okay. So I am choosing Masters of the Universe, He-Man, of course, but not the OG one, which is what it is, but the 2002 one. I think that came out on Cartoon Network, I believe.
Yes. That's not the recent Kevin Smith remake one, right?
No, which is good too, which I think I'll take a little hot take. I think his series is better than the OG series. But the 2002 He-Man Masters of the Universe, I believe, like I said, was on Cartoon Network. And I think what it did, it took all the stuff that I loved as a kid, I'm sure Jones did too, and it brought it kind of order and it kind of modernized it in a way that it was almost like. And I heard this description, if they ever wanted to make a He-Man Masters of the Universe film, is to mix in its Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars, which I think is the perfect combination. And this series, to me, is like the closest one that has done it. Like, as far as the storytelling goes, they add more layers to Skeletor. Like, he was a prince, Prince Kandor, and I believe he was the brother of Randolph, which was the king who eventually became, you know, He-Man's dad. So out of that lore, like the Horde, everybody made more sense. They weren't these goofy little characters that I grew up with in the 80s and I played with my brother with. But now they had more depth to them. Like, you knew about the Hawk people. You knew about Merman. You knew about, like, Stinkor. You knew about, like, I think it was Scareglow. He's, like, the skeleton that kind of was, like, they made a story for him. And it just, I was like, okay, damn. Like, Eternia, like, the mythos. It's just, like, it added more stuff to it. And I loved it. And I think you were one of the ones that told me about this. Because I think the one after this was the Thundercats one, which was also really good.
Really good, but it got no love. It just, like, died.
Yeah, and when I saw it, I was like, dude, this is, like, dope. Like, they introduced, like, these gauntlets. I mean, that's a whole other conversation with that Thundercats one. But sticking to this one, the He-Man 2002.
Definitely, yeah. I remember because I was like, oh, are they finally, like, breathing life into some of these... these older comic books or cartoons, because that was right around the time, I think, when I was rolling out, is when there was a lot of, like, 80s nostalgia starting to happen in pop culture. Mm. And, yeah, I was like, oh, man, I can't wait, especially after seeing that He-Man one. I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. Let's see what else they can do. I know it was a few years after that they did, was it G.I. Joe Renegades? I don't know if you ever watched that one.
I haven't watched anything G.I. Joe since the old school ones. Like, I didn't even watch, like, the newer ones after. I thought it just got, like, it got too goofy.
Well, yeah. No, after the Real American Heroes, yeah, they went into the, after they got bought out and they went into this other realm. Yeah, it got really weird.
I remember the toys, like, I think I had stopped collecting at, like, that midpoint. Remember when they started going to, like, more neon weird, like the neon Cobra?
They were doing the, the Future Force thing, I think is what they were called. Yeah, the Team 2000 Strange, is, like, what they were called, yeah.
Before, their vehicles were dope, and everybody like, oh, man, you got the Rattler, and now they're, like, they're glowing in the dark. Like, what is this?
So, they had the Python group, I think, is what they were called. They had the red coloring to it. I'm telling you, stop, get me away from G.I. Joe. Stop.
Telling you, I'm going to record a G.I. Joe episode with you, and I want to see how sweaty. Because you got sweaty the other day. With, oh, this guy knows.
You almost got me there. I was almost heading that way. I was like, no. All right. My next one is actually sort of a same kind of thing, a kind of a revival of probably one of, I know, something that later in my childhood it came out. And they're actually redoing it now with Disney. But this one was the X-Men Evolution.
I remember that. I've seen that one. It's not the classic X-Men, but it's not.
It's a good, like, it was a good fresh take on them being in, like, them being at school. It's like it was more following them. They weren't adults. They were teens. And you had, you know, you did have Storm. You had Wolverine, who was sort of like the teacher there. And I just thought it was just an overall story. It ran for about, I want to say, 4 seasons?
I think it was 3. I believe it was 3 because I started, I might have to watch that again.
No, 4 seasons, yeah. It ran for about 4 seasons, yeah. Okay. I think the 4th season, it sort of like kind of fell off. But I mean, it still kind of had like the same feelings of the original, the 97 X-Men is what they're known as now. You know, you did have the Dark Phoenix story in there. You did have, like Nimrod, and you did have an X-23 in there. You did have a lot of like really deeper ones.
They had the Apocalypse storyline as well. Remember the Apocalypse intro?
Yep.
Which was not, I mean, compared to the OG series and this series, like which one was better? I mean, that's up for you to decide, but I thought the way they did an evolution was really kind of compact, but it made sense.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it was like it showed him as the warrior, and then eventually the change and the alien technology, and how he became Apocalypse. And when the X-Men first fight him in that scene, and they get their ass kicked, like just like nothing. Ugh, so good. I kind of wish, like low key, when they made the X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse, I kind of like if you watch the beginning of that movie, like the first 20 minutes when they're in Egypt, I'm thinking, oh shit, they got it.
Yeah,
this is it. Like the intro of those horsemen and how they're killing everybody. Oh, I was like, dude, we're there. And then after that, it was just like, what?
Yeah, I know with the movies, they had literally already built the world, so they couldn't do too much more. And I also think like the technology wasn't really there to kind of get the Apocalypse we wanted.
Or deserved. I mean, come on, there's got people in cosplays that we see when we go to MegaCon every year that do better costumes. So it's just like, I don't know. That's a long story, man. I guess I'm going. Yep.
What's your next one?
All right. So this is my one from the 80s. It's pretty simple. When I saw this, I thought there couldn't be like any kind of like animated, like, because when I'm actually like at that point in my life, when I'm watching those animated series, you're like, they're kiddie. They tailored to me and my brother. But this was like the first one that kind of went a little bit more adult. And then that's kind of breached my love for like anime and stuff like that. And that's Robotech from 1985.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like that was like the series, you know, you're watching Voltron, you're watching He-Man, and then you get this one. And this one is a little bit more adult. It's more and more people are dying. There's war. Even both, I think there's 3 arcs in the story. Like they had like the SDF-1, which is the space carrier, aircraft carrier, which turns into a giant robot. They have those cool ass freaking planes that turn into like, it literally, this is like the father of Gundam. If you like Gundam, this is where Gundam came from, is Robotech. That's like the father of all that stuff. Like people are, nowadays, especially at work, where I work, they love Gundam. Oh, Gundam, Gundam, Gundam. I'm like, hey, man, well, if there's no Robotech, there is no Gundam. Like literally, if you look at all designs from like the OG Robotech, they like Gundam stole all that shit and made it their own. And maybe not because it's from the same places, but just saying. The series was so good, adult, action-packed, and like it blew my mind. I think for the longest time before I sold them all, I had like a couple models of the ships and the airplanes because they were so cool when they changed into those robots.
Yeah, I think I remember I didn't catch it on its first run. I think I caught it later on, but I remember going into my first comic book stores and there just being Robotech, just stuff everywhere. And I'm like, what is this? And of course, I was, I was comic book guy, so I didn't really like look at the Japanese stuff. And then it was just a little bit later, I was like, okay, this is still everywhere. Let me like look at it more, and that's when I've discovered the show.
Great. It's a great show, man. It's just like, and I'm shocked. I think they talked about it for years about doing it on like a film adaptation. Nothing. And there's a lot of lore in there too.
Maybe there, they think yeah, there is. That's kind of tough. I mean, and I'm worried about it right now. As much as I love Henry Cavill, I'm scared as shit to see them ruin the fucking Voltron. You know, I think it's one of those properties that you need to do right, or it's going to come off cheesy like Power Rangers.
The one thing that bothers me from that is when I read like one of the premise, oh, it's not about like the original 5 Lions. I mean, it is, but it's not about the original pilots. It's like this is like a new generation. I'm like,
well, that was the Netflix. That was the Netflix series, which I had no problems with that.
You know, I never finished it, and I heard it's really good.
You got to check that out because I was a diehard Voltron fan. like original Voltron. I had the five robot or the five lions, everything. And
I'll tell you what bothered me, to be honest. When I started watching it, Keith wasn't in control of the Black Lion. I think that's what threw me off. There was another dude in there who I'd never heard of. I'm like, who the heck is She-Ra? I mean, I guess if you read the comics, maybe you know better than I do. But I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Like, it was. I did finish the first season and I eked into the second, but it still was like, oh, this is Keith. Like, it's still kind of throwing me off. So
yeah. Maybe, again, it was a take that like the original series still existed in that universe. So it was just had to take it. I think if anything, anybody that was a diehard Voltron fan probably would have had more issues with the fact that the Black Lion wasn't always the center lion. There were times when the Yellow Lion would be the center lion, and that would give Voltron a whole new like ranking of power.
Later though, that was introduced.
I think
because it was always Black Lion.
Season 2, I think, or something like that. But yeah, no, it's yeah. Like I said, yeah. Again, that's why I'm kind of worried. I'm glad they've never done a Robotech movie. That's why I'm worried about the Voltron movie. Just it's not about the story they're going to tell. It's about not making it look ridiculous. Because this can be look ridiculous. Like I said, it could be a Power Rangers movie, literally. I mean,
maybe they learned their lessons. I mean, why would Henry Cavill sign on to do this film?
That's the only thing that's giving me hope.
Sign up for shit. Like all his shit that he's been in recently. I mean, they're not big budget stuff, but like he's been good in it, and they've been pretty good.
Yeah, and he's a fellow sweaty, so you know, hopefully he'll.
I'm just saying. All right, sir. So what do you got next?
All right. For my next one, you got to cue the bongos. If you've ever seen this show, you know what I'm talking about. The Venture Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is Cartoon All Network, right. Old school Adult Swim. Even the creators have fucking cool ass names. Jackson Publick and Doc Hammer. You can't go any cooler than those two names being creators of basically what is a spoof, but like a fun continuation of the Johnny Quest, but it's following two brothers whose dad is a Dr. Thaddeus Venture, Rusty. And you got Hank and Dean Venture who are his kids who are loosely based off of Fred from Scooby-Doo and Peter Parker. When you actually watch what they're wearing, you see the kids are literally like copies of Fred and Peter Parker. There's even a scene where they're all getting ready for bed and they're wearing underoos of. Yeah. And then of course you have Brock Sampson, voiced by, Patrick Warburton. That's who it was. If anybody's seen Seinfeld, yeah. Putty or the Tick animated. Yeah. He was.
Dude. I mean, I don't mean to like derail a little bit, but have you seen the TikToks with Patrick Warburton and his kids?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking stare. And like, they're all talking just like it. They're wearing like that deep monotone. But every time I see it, I just die laughing. First of all, I didn't know he had kids that were that old.
Oh yeah, dude. You got to realize, I mean, he was Putty in Seinfeld. So you're talking like what, early 90s, 80s, late 80s, early 90s.
You know what it is, dude? It just still freaks me out when I see like little kids and now they're like almost like the age I was when I met them. Like, holy shit. It still just kind of weirds me out that I see that's what the old man and me talking.
But yeah, like if nobody's ever seen it, it's just, it's fun. It's got this 70s vibe to it. They do make a lot of pop culture references to kind of that time. Again, they do make comments about it being similar to Johnny Quest. There's literally a moment where they do the whole first part of, Ground Control to Major Tom. From David Bowie, they begin an episode where Major Tom is taking off in a rocket, going up to space, and literally their lines are the lyrics to that song. That's one of the things that hooked me.
Major Tom.
And it just the cadre of villains are just bad spoofs of James Bond villains. Their main antagonist is a character called the Monarch, who dresses like a monarch butterfly. And his significant other is a character called Dr. Girlfriend, and Dr. Girlfriend has a deeper voice than Patrick Warburton. So you know, check it out, guys. That's one I will just rewatch. I know they're talking about like redoing it or not redoing it, but like having it come back on, which I'm so stoked for. I absolutely love it.
Didn't there were some writers from the Venture Brothers that went on to write Rick and Morty? Is that true?
Possibly. I mean, there's quite a few writers. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a couple episodes of it. Like, that was never my, jam. You know, I know people love Venture Brothers. That's your thing. That's cool. Like, maybe I'll catch it on like I did Game of Thrones late.
Oh, dude, yeah, you gotta catch it, man. You would absolutely love it because of like the pop, like that episode where they do Ground Control to Major Tom. You would just, because at first I'm just watching it and I'm like, okay, and then I start picking up. I'm like, oh my god, no, they're not.
Dude, anything with Bowie in it is awesome.
So what do you got next?
Dude, this is kind of like a layup for me and probably a layup for you. I'm sure you had it on your list. If you didn't, shame on you, but I'm sure it's on everybody's list. This is the easiest. This is like literally a layup. And when I say this, what this series is, like I said, layup, like you could mention episodes, I'll mention episodes, but it's the Family Guy, dude. Like what else can I say? This literally, like, I think we talked about doing an animated movie this month. So I think I want to change it to doing Blue Harvest from Family Guy and the sequel. If Mr. Jones can find them, but like, what can I say about Family Guy that hasn't already been said? Like, literally, if you wanted to stare into my mind, this is it. If I was married and had a couple kids.
I think the first time I started watching it at first, I can't remember how many episodes in. There was an episode where Peter gets pulled over by a cop and like he rolls down his window and he like pulls up his tit and kind of like starts licking it.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was like, what? I'm here. Okay. I'm here for this.
See, I love like the dynamic between Brian and Stewie. Like that's my favorite. Like that's my Lethal Weapon right there. Everybody's funny in the show, but like those two like together, like in the confines of the Family Guy, they kind of make that show. You take them apart. Like, I don't think they could make their own solo show like the Cleveland Show. Ugh. But like with Stewie and Brian, like they make that show and they had heartfelt moments too. Like when Brian died, dude, like literally, I was like, oh shit, they really did this. Of course they didn't.
Of course. Spoiler alerts for folks.
Oh, did I? Oh my.
Just messing with you.
Don't do that, man. You're gonna make me feel bad. But like I said, the Family Guy, and I think we're going to end up doing Blue Harvest because I think that's a lot of conversation right there. And plus, it's literally part of the lexicon. Like, people say, oh, it's like the Simpsons of this generation. I'm like, well, the same people who made the Simpsons made the Family Guy. So I guess if you want to make that analogy for, like, my generation, yeah, I think I can associate more with Family Guy than I can with, like, the Simpsons. It's always – yeah, it's just me.
Who made the Simpsons and the Family Guy?
The same people who made the Simpsons made the Family Guy.
No, they didn't.
That's what I read.
No.
You sure?
Yeah. Simpsons came from Matt Groening, and Family Guy came from the guy that did Ted. Shit, I'm drawing a blank.
Wasn't there some workers who helped make the Family Guy from, like, Simpsons? Like, that's what I read. I'm not sure.
I've never heard. Now, I mean, they parallel each other a lot when you look at, like, the original, like, drawings and the animation of that. Yes, they both came on Fox, so maybe the same producers produced them both. I mean, that's the only way I can maybe see that. No, Seth MacFarlane, he's the one that kind of created that. Yeah, and in fact, I mean, there was a long time that there was anger between the two camps, and they like literally would make fun of each other.
And, oh, that's right.
I think there was a moment where I think, like, you know, how you have the intro with Simpsons, how, you know, you see them run into their living room. The Family Guy cast was there. And then I think eventually they got over that. But yeah, there was always a little tension from that. But no, I definitely remember that because of just similarities.
Which one are you, Simpsons guy or your Family Guy?
Oh, dude, see, that's tough. I'm both because, I mean, I grew up on The Simpsons. You know, watching on Tracy Ullman and then watching that, and, you know,
I am such in the minority right now because I have never been a Simpsons guy.
Really?
I saw a couple. I've seen episodes here and there. I've never been a Simpsons guy.
I mean, I haven't watched it in years. Like, I stopped watching it probably around the time Family Guy kind of started coming out. I kind of drifted away and went to the Family Guy camp. But no, like, when Simpsons were the only thing out there, I literally had the Simpsons chess set. You know, my ex-wife, your wife at the time, she gifted me that for my birthday. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Because it had weird colors on the board and the characters were the chess pieces. And when they came out, and again, same thing you could say about, you know, as Family Guy's out, South Park came out. And then you had those folks that kind of like moved over. I kind of got into South Park a little bit, but I wasn't like as hardcore as a lot of folks my age were.
I love South Park. It's somewhere on here too. So I'm not going to mention it anyways. It's one of my honorables, but yeah, South Park is definitely one of my favorites. So what you got there, sir?
My next one actually is a Nickelodeon show. I think it's geared towards children. But adults can watch it and appreciate it and appreciate the lessons that are in it. It has spawned a follow-up. Actually, it's getting ready to get a third one. It spawned a horrible movie, spawned a good, semi-good one season. But Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh.
Absolutely love those. That's something I can sit down and rewatch over and over and over again. The teachings on it are great, especially if you appreciate Eastern... you know, teachings, the following the animation, the martial arts style that they use was legitimately martial arts style. They copied a lot of them on there. But just the whole story that's being told, and even the follow-up, the Last Airbender, Kara, absolutely love that one. I thought that was really great. Just the overall story, I thought it was an amazing story. And then the cast that did it, I actually follow a lot of them online because they just are just so funny, and just you get to know their personalities. Zach Tyler Eisen and Maya Whitman, funny. I also follow Michaela Jill Murphy, who does the voice of Toph, and she's all over the place when she goes to do the conventions, and she like has embraced her Toughness.
It's good because some people, when they play like iconic characters, they don't embrace them. They're like, oh, I want to be as far
away
from
them. She shows up dressed as Toph and does signings with people and photos.
That's admirable. You know, like I said, if you become famous for something, if it were me, I'd ride out to the grave. But some people are like, no, I don't want to be known like that. I want to be known in a series.
But yeah, no. Check out Last Airbender. It's really good.
My exposure was sadly the movie. So... And then you have explained about watching the series, like, hey, Jeff, watch it, because it has the Buddhism and stuff, which I kind of like lore like that with religion.
Yeah, really good, yeah.
And so
it's got Mako on it. You remember the actor Mako?
Yes,
Mako, He played the character of Uncle Iroh in it, and it was his last work. The final season, somebody else came in and picked up his voice. But yeah, there are some heartbreaking moments when after Mako died on one of the episodes, it gets you, man. It's fun, it's heartwarming, and it pulls on your strings. But like I said, it's an overall great, great show.
I you have to correct me before we move on. Was Mako not the voice of Splinter in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie?
I thought he was.
Okay, yeah. Because that his voice was one of the things that always struck me about him, man. That like it's like he sounded like a teacher, and like shit, like if you disappoint this guy, he's gonna preach to you, and you're gonna listen because he had that calm, cool, but it was like a strong voice too. It was like, you will not do this. Like oh shit, okay.
And that's Uncle Iroh in the series, is he's this war vet, and he's helping his nephew who's been basically banished away from the kingdom because his dad doesn't want him there, and he's just this hardened warrior, but he's found like this inner peace. Like he always wants to play Pai Cho and drink tea. He's like, oh, if you're getting upset, we're gonna sit down and play a game and drink some tea. And like, and eventually you understand his thought process to that. Like season three, you finally figure it out. And again, the great thing about the Avatar series, it's literally four seasons, and it's got an ending. They started it and knew where they were ending, which I'm a fan of people starting shows. We're not going a decade. I've got a story to tell from here to here. Let's tell it.
I don't know, but if I like the characters, I would love it to go on. But I understand your points.
So what do you got next?
I got a series that literally
to me, like we talk about like adult series. This is where I'm pretty much going to lean into after Family Guy. I loved Robotech, how it got very adult. But when then this series came out, it was after Batman the Animated Series. Spoilers, I didn't put it on my list because it's too easy. But like this series that followed was to me darker than Batman the Animated Series. And it was on for a couple seasons. That's Spawn, the HBO series.
It was two or three seasons?
Yeah, it was not on long.
No, but really good.
And I did not know what I to expect when I watched it. Because I remember like the first episode came out on a midnight on a Friday. I'm like, okay, it's Spawn. I was collecting Spawn figures and comics. I'm like, let's watch it. Exactly like the comics, just gritty, like downright. There's murder, there's death going on. It deals with heaven and hell in a very heavy way. Everything's just weighed down. You have like a child abductor and an ice cream truck who literally like kidnaps little kids and puts them in like in an ice cream like and freezes them. It's insanely adult. Like that's why it's literally like it's rated R when you watch it.
And it's dark. where I discovered who I'd seen him before. But it's where I discovered who Keith David was.
Keith David was?
Yeah. Well, I'd seen him, and I'm gonna throw you. You may want to brace your neck here. Men at Work.
Yeah.
He was in Men at Work with Charlie Sheen and Emilio. And that was I remember him from that, and I absolutely loved him. Like, well, it's like, damn, somebody threw away a perfectly good white boy. Absolutely loved him in that
you
movie.
Know what? I can't hate you for that. Men at Work is dope.
Why I said I wanted you to brace your neck because I'm gonna go back a little bit. But
he had so many memorable lines. Shit about the French fries.
Yeah. But yeah, that was like, and like I'd seen him in that, and I really liked him in that. And then when I started watching the Spawn series, I'm like, yeah, that voice. And of course, you know, we was pre-internet, so we couldn't just like pick up our phone or computer and like look him up. Had to wait for the credits and then like try to like freaking figure out who he was.
I think that was the beginning of his voiceover career, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, maybe he did like little things after that, but literally, that's like one of the first ones that he starred in. And like I said, that voice, like, because when you read a comic, you always imagine somebody's voice is like, who's the voice of Batman or Superman? Like, you got a voice chosen in your head. Like, okay, when I'm reading Batman, it's Kevin Conroy. If I read Spawn, it's going to be Keith David. Because he brings everything to that. And to me, that's how Spawn would sound like. He would sound kind of grizzled and kind of dark like that. I mean,
actually, I
don't think they showed
up. I think his first one was Goliath and Gargoyles.
Oh, that's right. He did Goliath. I take that back. Two iconic characters.
And then, of course, he was in They Live. I mean, so you got that one, too.
Those movies, maybe Jones will convince one. I'll work on that, but definitely Spawn the series. And like I said, it was like it's that tone.
Yeah,
to definitely. Me, it took like that animated series of Batman and the animated series, which was very adult for what it was. But then we go to Spawn, and it goes more adult, and it's more vicious. And that's why I was on it. Like I said, it was on at midnight, so the little kiddies couldn't see because there was some violent stuff that go. It's very visceral, especially with the murder.
And I got to be honest, I know, you know, they had the movie, I think, just around that same time. Actually, I think this came after the movie. I think this was supposed to be like
it was
a...
And after.
This one was so much... And nothing against the movie. This was so much better. This captured the comic book so much better than the movie did.
I agree, but I love the movie soundtrack. And for, like, there's some moments in that movie that are like, oh, like, the CGI is dated, man. It is very dated.
Oh, yeah.
Watch the scene where he is, I think he's crashing down in a party, and his cape is supposed to be this elaborate thing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But yeah, watch Spawn the animated series. Way better.
All right.
What do you got, sir?
My next one, and this is the oldest one I'm pretty sure that's going to show up on this list, all right? I'd put money on it. This one I grew up on. This actually went for three seasons, stopped, came back for another season, stopped, came back like years later for, you know, a second season. But that's Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Oh, yes.
Started back in 1969, September, and like it ran to like this, like I think 70, and then it like stopped, and then they started doing reruns, and then like it didn't pick up until like 78. So yeah, this was the original Scooby-Doo, and absolutely so much fun. And it's where all the lore and all the fun came from. I did. I mean, I enjoyed both both Scooby-Doo movies that came out. And I mean, and then everyone that came out after that, all the other Scooby-Doo like iterations, you know, I absolutely love. But this one is the one that set it off, and it takes up me back, and anybody probably in my demographic takes us back to Saturday morning.
Man, I remember the Scooby-Doo mysteries. I used to watch it every Saturday morning with my brothers, or actually my brother and I, because he's 3 years younger than I am. My older brother was a dick, so fuck him. At the time, I love you, Al. But so we would watch these Scooby-Doo specials, and I think every couple of weeks they would have like a special guest star. It was like the a singer of the times. I think the one dude from Smokey and the Bandit, he was in it, but he was like an animated character. And they always had like these special guest stars, like they're from the real world, but like they're animated now. I thought that was always kind of cool. Like, of course, they wrapped up the mystery, and I think Scooby Natural is underrated. People should watch it. But I love Scooby-Doo. Yep. What can you say bad about Scooby-Doo? If anybody says anything bad about it, I'm like, dude, get out. We're not friends. Like, just leave. You can never say anything bad about it. Yes, it's meme-ized. I get it. But what it is, for me, I guess for Jones as well, it holds like a special place in our hearts, and it can never get old.
No.
I don't think I'll be watching that in a nursing home while Jones is like three rooms down from me. We'll be watching Scooby-Doo. So there's no hate at all.
What you got next?
I got a series that I am not going to lie. My partner here across the, I guess across I-4 got me into, didn't think I was going to like it. Ended up loving it. To the point where I told him, hey, man, you know, the new season's on. It was gone. It was also a series I was gone for a while. Yes, it is of the superhero genre, and that's Young Justice. I didn't think I was going to like Young Justice. I was like, this sounds stupid. You told me the premise so many times, like, this sounds dumb. I don't want to watch it. Like, dude, you got to watch it. Like what, are the Justice League in it? He's like, yeah, they are, but they sort of are. They kind of took that concept of, I wouldn't say it's like the Justice League. The Justice League are in this show a lot more than you think, but it focuses more on those, you know, those kind of the side characters and then forming the sidekicks, and it makes it cool. It makes it dark. There's some moments there with like I think Tigress and Red Arrow, and like they go into that and the cloning and like disappearing, and like there's kids involved. It's fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
How dark it gets. And then like you get Darkseid involved, the light, you got Ra's al Ghul, you have like small appearance by Damian Wayne. Like they somehow took all the good stuff that I like about DC and they kind of like put it in this show. Like even like the older characters, well, like it's kind of like we've discussed before, like our versions, like what the new DCU should be. And I think Jones and I have always said one thing we kind of agree on, like, hey man, like make the Trinity kind of like those characters that you see once in a while when they pop up. Oh shit, they're here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is what Young Justice did great with the Justice League. Because when they showed up, oh shit, there's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, and like the post-credit scene with Darkseid, purpose. Oh, where is that going to go?
Yeah.
So many good things. And plus, it shows about the lives of these guys, like what they're going through. Like, they're dealing with like relationships. They're dealing with like loss and grief. Like, Wally West is like one of the biggest things they deal with throughout the whole show. Like, his death, like, it carries weight through every season. It's so good.
And then you get like Superboy later on where that happens. And I think one of the things that really caught me, I think it was on, it was the pilot episode. I think it was a two-parter, is, you know, they stick to the 90s, you know, creation of Superboy, him being a clone.
And the Academus.
Yeah. And then you see like Superman's reaction to, like, I mean, how would you feel if somebody cloned you? Like, and he's like, literally,
he's standoffish.
And even Batman's like, dude, what's going on, yeah, man? You gotta.
Yeah. Dude, I forgot about that. That's a good pull. Yeah, yeah, like Batman more like fatherly to him than Superman.
Yeah,
like,
and it took Superman a while to get there. I mean, he eventually got there, eventually brought him into the farm and introduced him. But it was just like the fact of like, hold on, somebody cloned me. And in this, who is he? Who are you? And what right do you have to have my stuff? I mean, I got it. And it was like, it gave Superman that human side.
Yeah, it's kind of like weird. It kind of like takes a weird kind of flip, because when Superman landed on Earth, people looked at him just like that. Now he's looking the same way at fucking Clark or Connor that the world looked at him before. Like, oh shit, like, what are you? Like, you're a clone? Like, he didn't know how to deal with it. But yeah, eventually he does come on board. and they become a family and all that good stuff. Like, so many good episodes. Even the last season, I don't think they're going to bring it back, which is, it kind of breaks my heart.
Well, they went through, I think one season they went away, and then they brought them back, and like they tried again, which I thought was good of them. But yeah, it's really good. If anybody gets a chance, I think it's all on HBO Max. I think they're all out there on HBO Max.
Like I said, so good. It's one of those series that I'll binge. I'll probably start it again tonight. I got too many series to watch, but that's another one. It's never gets boring. And like I said, they bring the Justice League in a way that is, you got to use it going forward in the film universe. Make them badasses. Oh, they show up, but they do it so well. Sir, do you have anything else?
Yes, I do. Actually, most people probably have never heard of this. I don't think you have. It's an anime series. Absolutely fell in love with. Just stumbled across it and just like absolutely fell in love with it. It didn't run that long. Maybe like two seasons, if that, I think. No, not even. I think it's only 26 episodes. Very short run. But it's called Witch Hunter Robin. And the series just follows. It follows a Japanese branch of like a secret global organization called Solomon, and they're. Goal is to kind of run down and keep track of any harmful witches that are out there. But they also include in their team witches as well. You know, some of the witches are genetically that way. Some are not. So it's a real interesting story. Beautifully just animated. I mean, it's typical anime, but it's got a darker tone to it. Every time you mention the Vampire Hunter D, I automatically think right instantly go to Witch Hunter Robin because it's almost got a very similar tone to it. And if anybody gets a chance, I couldn't find it forever. And I happened to walk into a local store. I don't want to call it a comic book store. It was a comic book store, but it was called Guns and Comics. So a very,
which is gone, sadly.
Yeah, man. But it was a very interesting store. Half of it was comics and collectibles, and then the other half was firearms. It was a very strange amalgamation.
I think we should bring this trend back, guns and comics.
Yeah,
the same.
I was like I passed it by one day. I'm like, what does that say? And but eventually I went in, and
you go in and buy something from there too?
Yeah, actually I went in and bought Witch Hunter Robin the series because they had it. I walked in, I was just perusing, and I walked by their DVD collection, and I'm like, what? I was like, I haven't seen this in years. Oh my God, I didn't think anybody had it. And I grabbed it. No, I bought a couple other things from there. It was a really good store. And like, because it wasn't on the comic book radar, it wasn't like the comic book fan radar, the nerd radar here in town because of what it was. It was a gun shop with a comic section.
Because geeks are peaceful, dude.
Yeah.
Except for you. It's like, that's why it would work for me. Like, guns and comics, hell yeah. I can get Batman and get like a freaking weapon.
Our friend Cindy and I, we would go in a few times. Yeah, it's real. Like I said, it was a really interesting store. And again, like, because they didn't have your normal comic, you know, customers, there was a lot of interesting things in there that you would just wouldn't imagine to be, you know, you would be there.
Sure. I'm sure. Like, Ninja Knives with like a freaking Storm Shadow comic. Like, that's what I was like, dude, cross promotion.
They should have. They were never that forward thinking.
Never watched the series, by the way. But I will watch it. Sounds like something up right up my alley. And
yeah, I wouldn't know where you would find it nowadays. I actually I found, like I said, I've got my DVD collection that I just stumbled across. I'm like, no freaking way. I didn't care how much it was. I was buying that thing.
But kids, check Witch Hunter Robin. I guess we should go to our notable misses.
Yeah, I guess. Selection. Yeah. My last runner. Yeah, go ahead.
I got a notable miss, and it's one that came out recently, which is so fucking good. X-Men 97. I know I didn't mean to put like three comic ones on here, but X-Men 97. To me, it took what X-Men, the classic one, was in the 90s, and it elevated. Like, I would wax poetically about this show every freaking week. Like, I would text my brother, who's in California, wake his ass up, like, dude, the X-Men are so good. I'll text Jones, middle of the night, X-Men, he's of course asleep, doesn't respond. Next day he does. But so they took that storyline of everything, even like this new season was so good. The voices were so good. The animation, they took that and they made it so good. Like, there's nothing bad I can say about this show. Every week, trumped the last week, trumped the last week and the week before, and like the monologues were dope. It's just so good. It's so good. It's still in my mind. Another one of those I rewatch all the freaking time.
My runner up, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the show, but I do know I mentioned it to you, was this was a, goodness, when was this, 90s? No, early 2000s, I'm sorry. Early 2000s, it was a sci-fi animated show, CG animated show. It was called Trippin' the Riff. And if anybody's ever seen it, it's basically, it's largely spoofing like Star Trek, but it's got Star Wars, 2001 Space Odyssey, and like Battlestar Galactica, like jokes about it. It's got Steven Root as the main character, Chode McBlob. And he is just a foul-mouthed, rude, just ridiculous. You've got six of one instead of six of nine.
What the hell is this?
You got Spaceship Bob, who's actually voiced by Stuttering John from the Howard Stern Show, and then the main villain was Darth Bobo, who was basically a Darth Vader from the neck down and a clown from the neck on his head. It is the strangest animation you will find, and just. If you're a sci-fi fan, all about it. It just covers everything sci-fi, makes fun of everything.
I looked it up right now because I was like, I don't remember that. I looked it up. Oh, I remember it now.
Yeah.
I remember it now. Oh, I still remember the title. Yeah,
yes, Trippin' the Rift. Absolutely great. All right, so next week we are doing.
Let's do animated characters.
Animated characters. All right. So we're going to cover our favorite animated characters next week. No Disney. What's that? Oh, yeah. No Disney, of course. Well, yeah. We're nothing against Disney, but when you're the master, there's no reason to include you in the list. They're going to win every time.
I'm going to emphasize that every week. We're not Disney whatsoever.
Yeah. And so we're not Disney marks, by the way, just so everybody understands. We're not that way with Disney. We just feel. They can just do it. They can win the list.
It would be boring. Like literally, all the anime characters will be from Disney. Like that's not fair.
The show would literally be like 3 seconds long. But what's your list? Disney. Yeah. Disney. All right. Disney. Bye. Peace out.
Okay. We're done. All right. Have a good night.
All right, guys. So we are going to do an animated watch along. We're going to talk about that off a line here to just figure out which one we're going to go with. But make sure you guys do check us out. I want to thank everybody who has been listening to us lately. I know we're getting back and we're coming back, and it's a slow build again to kind of get the numbers back up. But thank you, everybody that has been listening. We really appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Have a good week, and we'll see you.
See you guys.